through the Syria Committee. Let's do this meditation. Put the right hand over the left, and the thumbs are in together like that, and they just fit very nicely together like that. And hold this posture. Close the eyes, and you can look in the direction of the tip of the nose. The elbows are out, and arms are parallel to the floor. And then just holding this posture, contemplate the mind. Watch everything happen. And allow everything that feels uncomfortable or comfortable. And don't reject any part of your experience. just watch all of the activity in the mind. Allow the subconsciousness to talk to you. And just let the flow of the consciousness happen. inhale deeply and hold. Exhale, relax. Let's do another meditation. This one with the right hand, we do a Surya Mudra with this finger here. And what we're going to do is put the left hand across, keep the arm parallel to the floor, and touch there. And curl the right wrist backwards. Yeah. And close the eyes. Keep the spine straight and stretched. The chest slightly out. And pull the navel in just a little bit. Lock the neck. And hold this posture. And with this posture, what we're going to do is we're going to chant Hari, Hari, Hari 16 times. Chant Hari 16 times, but do it through the nose. Chant it from the navel. But through the nose. And then take a breath after 16. And keep doing that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
exhale. Inhale. Squeeze. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Relax. Yeah, that's a little bit of a challenge, huh? Let's do one more. And this one's simple. Just oscillate the hands up and down, about 6 inches. And then with each time that we move, we inhale part of the breath, and we'll inhale 8 times, exhale 8 times. Make sense? So it's inhale all the way and exhale all the way as you do this. Close the eyes and look at the chin from the inside. Thank you. bring the hands still in front of you. Hold them very still. Just breathe normally. And keep the eye focused on the chin. Okay, inhale deeply and hold. Exhale and relax. Feel the shunya in your body. So we can recognize that when something isn't working for us somehow, something in us isn't working. And we can fix a lot of things by fixing ourselves. We can fix a lot of things in the way that we relate with the world, relate with our people, relate with our roommates, partners, friends, family, work. Everything. And most of those issues can be resolved just by fixing something in us. You go to some place where that there's some point of irritation and some point of conflict where that is happening. Now, when we heal somebody, we usually heal somebody very directly. We heal with our intention, and we heal something in them. But people that we heal don't live in a vacuum. They also relate with other people. They also communicate and relate with the world in a lot of different ways. And it's a very complex, I guess you could use the word matrix, but it's a very complex web of relations. And so when we heal somebody, something is happening inside of them, but also what happens inside of them will have a secondary impact on what happens outside of them and in relation with everything else. So that's what we are addressing here, and that we call resonance, so secondary effects. We could treat them as secondary effects, but we could also treat them as part of the treatment as well. We can treat that as part of the healing, as well as whatever it is that we're relating directly with in the person. And we can use that property of relations to heal other things as well. We can heal something in somebody directly, or we can heal something in somebody which indirectly is related with something else in them, and that will be healed as well. We can heal, as I mentioned yesterday, we can heal somebody who is a mother, and then in some way then the child will be healed as well. We can use this. It's a very effective thing, very effective tool. So what we'll do today again is some exercises. First we will work within somebody and see how different things are affected by what we do within somebody and the impact it has within them. But also then we'll move to impact that it has outside them. And also how something external can impact somebody. And then we will do something that is a method for healing, which uses these things, these properties of resonance, to heal somebody in a very deep and profound way, which will possibly resolve a large chunk of their life. I don't know how else to put that. Okay, so the meditation that we did earlier, you know, this one here, that one stimulates and extends the vagus nerve.
Which one was that?
This one.
Okay.
It stimulates and extends the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is something that happens in the face. I think it's on the side. It comes on the cheek and it comes down. And it affects your channels, the pranic channels of the body. And that nerve will have an impact on virtually every functioning organ in your body, all the way from head to toe. It's one of the most connected things there is in your body. And so we'll work a little bit with the vagus nerve just at first, and we'll see how that feels with other things. Okay, we'll do that. Also, well, I guess I won't. We'll get there. We'll get to the other parts too. So let's start here. Let's start with this. Thank you, partner. Okay, whatever you say.
Okay. Can you come in my eye?
Okay, open the space. Become aware of your sensations. Feel how everything in you is affected by everything in your field, your field of perception, which includes your sensory and your emotional and mental sensations. Allow them all to interact completely without differentiation, without discriminating between them. And treat any distractions that feel separate from that whole experience, and observe how they're affecting the whole experience. And doing that, allow them to begin to merge back into the whole experience. Now, choose to allow your partner to affect you, and specifically in the area of the left cheek, and we'll individualize the vagus nerve. You don't have to know what that is and how it works, but just in the area of the left cheek of your partner, localize in you how you are being affected. Just choosing to relate with that. And feel what it feels like. Now, choose to relate with your partner's lungs. Feel how that appears in your your field of perception. Feel the emotions that arise and the thoughts that arise. And don't do anything with that. Just research it. Research your space. Feel how you're affected by the process of breathing and the interactions of the lungs with your breath. And then choose to relate again with the vagus nerve. Begin to research the impact that it has. The lungs, the breath, the breathing, sensory perceptions, emotions, thoughts, and everything. And then find how you can relate in the space of the relation with the nerve in order to release resistance in the space of your relation with the lungs. And bring the resistances to neutral. Empty them. And then let's begin to research your relate with your partner's stomach. And then in the space of the relation with the nerve, see how we can exercise our intention in some way to release resistance that appears in the space of your relation with your partner's stomach. And then let's do the same thing relating with your partner's small intestine. Research the field stimulated by the relation with your partner's small intestine. And then interact with your intention, with the nerve, releasing resistance in the space of your partner's small intestine. Let's do the same thing with the large intestine, colon. Okay. Under conclusion, switch with your partner. Yeah, it probably took some pressure off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did the meditation.
I missed
the meditation.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Surya Mudra. Like that. My eyes are closed. But you pull the navel in and the chest up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like you do with Sat Kriya.
Okay.
And you chant Hari through the nose, 16 times per breath.
That's right, you guys also know bumblebee.
Yeah, friendly bumblebee.
Okay.
All right. And that stimulates and extends the function of the vagus nerve in the body.
Okay.
And it will help balance emotions and transcend emotions, so that whatever way that you're relating emotionally with things becomes more neutral.
Mm.
Okay, take your partner. Become aware of your sensations. Choose to relate with your partner, and in particular the vagus nerve, which begins on the left side of the head and goes across the cheek bone. So, just in the area of, around the cheek, relate with the nerve. Feel how that feels in your field, how that stimulates sensations in your sensory field, in your emotions, thoughts. And just treat the experience as a whole, not discriminating. And just localize in you where your field of perception is most, has the most impact and stimulates your field. choose to relate with your partner's stomach and feel where in you your field is stimulated, where there's resistance, where the distractions of the perceptions are most prominent, the resistance. Bring your attention back to the vagus nerve and see how you can relate with the field of the vagus nerve to release resistance and bring it to neutral in your relation with your partner's stomach. Feel the field of your partner's stomach that interact with your intention in the field of the vagus nerve. Feel the effects and find how you can relate with the nerve to release the resistances. And then let's do the same thing. Let's do it with the small intestine. Relate with the small intestine and find the resistances, find the points that are stimulated in your field, your perceptive field, stimulated in your emotions, and your thoughts, and your sensory sensations. Again with the vagus nerve to bring those resistances to neutral and empty them. Thank you. release the pressures, release the emotions. And then let's do the same thing with the large intestine, the colon. Resistances in your field produced by the relation of the colon, and then interact in the space of the vagus nerve. Bring those resistances to neutral, empty them. Okay, come to conclusion. How's everybody? Maybe it seems that we kind of move a little quickly through these things, but that's good because you don't need to really be thinking about it. When we decide to go there, we go there. And we go there with everything. It's all of our perception. And it's really only our intention. Everything that we do happens through our intention. And we're able to move our intention, move our awareness, move everything, because we've emptied our awareness and gone into a state of shunya. You can do everything from shunya. No, it's fine. See, I'm not sitting on that.
Oh, that's
good. That's what. take your partner. Open your space. And then, just with your intention, choose to move your awareness and center it in your armpits. Begin to feel how everything in your field of perception in some way is affecting what you feel in your armpits. Feel the interdependency of the whole field in the armpits. Make the armpits the organ of your perception, as if you're observing everything from there. And just contain the resistances to that proposition. And just allow it to begin to happen. Expand the space. Make it really big. Find the silence in your space. And allow the silence to affect everything. Okay, and then choose to relate with your partner's armpits. Feel the effect of that on your space, on your field of perception. Hold the relation with the armpits. Hold that space. And then include your partner's elbows. And choose to relate with the elbows. And then feel how that is affecting the space of the armpits. Feel how it's affecting the field, observing from the armpits. intention to modify the field in relation with the elbows. Release the resistances. Bring them to neutral. Empty the resistances of the relation of the elbows by modifying the space of the armpits. And then let's do the same thing with the wrists. Choose to relate with the wrists of your partner. Locate in you how you're affected by that. Space of the armpits. Find how you can relate there to begin to release the resistances. That appear in the space of your relation with the wrists. Do the same thing with the neck. Find the point in the neck where there's the most prominent resistance and sensation in your field that's formed relating with the neck. Find the point in the neck with the maximum intensity. And then in the space of the relation with the armpits, see how you can relate there to begin to release that resistance relating with your partner's neck. let's do the same with the hip joints. And let's do the same with the knees. Like with the knee joints. Finding you how the field is affected. Relating with the knee joints. Space of the relation with the armpits. Begin to resolve the resistances. And then we'll do the same thing with the ankles. Come to conclusions, switch with your partner. We spent some time with that because the armpits are kind of special. You can go anywhere from there. They can have an impact on almost everything.
Well, lymph nodes, too.
What?
Lymph.
What?
The lymph.
Yes. The lymph. We were yeah, but we were just considering the joints for now. Okay, take your partner, open the space. And again, begin to choose to move your awareness to your armpits. And just contain the resistances that arise to that proposition. Expand that space. And find the silence in that space. Begin to relate with the elbows of your partner. No, relate with the armpits of your partner. And then just feel how that is affecting your field. Choose to relate with the elbows of your partner. recognize the resistances that that produces in your field. And then in the space of your relations, the armpits of your partner. Bring those resistances to neutral and empty them. Same thing with the neck. Find the point in the neck where there's the most intense point of resistance or irritation or distraction. How it most intensely affects your field. Armpits begin to resolve those resistances. Let's do the same thing with the hips, the joints of the hips, relative to the spine. Release those resistances using the relation with the armpits. Do the same thing with the knees. conclusions with your partner. Take a couple of minutes. Okay. Now, if your partner opens his face, choose to relate with your partner's living situation, regardless of whether your partner lives with a roommate or someone else, or alone. Just relate with that situation of living with somebody or alone. And then begin to research, relating with your partner in different ways. Relate with your partner and visit the different organs in your partner, such as the stomach, intestines, colon, bladder, the liver, spleen, pancreas, gallbladder. And then find in some way which organ is most strongly affected relating with this living situation of your partner. And just take a little while to do that research. And then when you find that, choose which organ then you'll relate with, which mostly reflects the impact of that living situation. And merge the space of that living situation with the space of relating with that organ. Begin to resolve the resistances. Also, you can consider the heart and the lungs. Everything is fair game. Okay. In conclusion, so we're able to settle on something to relate with. Yeah, what was that?
Well, what happened to me, it was the lungs, but I started with the bladder, and then I couldn't settle there.
Yes.
So I went back to, the lungs felt the strongest for me.
Yeah. Well, you could visit multiple places and just see.
Yeah, I did. I was sort of tried to go around.
Or sometimes you'll go someplace and it'll just point somewhere. No, no, go here, you know.
That's what happened. Yeah, that's how it happened.
Did you settle on something?
I did. At first it was also, it was like two. At first it was in the kidneys.
Yes.
Like especially like the right one.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went up to like here.
Like the heart?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then like I had to like go back again to the kidneys.
Yeah. So you settle on the kidneys then? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, heart and kidneys have a very strong resonance. If the kidneys aren't functioning, it affects the heart, and vice versa. Sometimes it may be hard to tell the difference. Okay, switch. Open the space. And then relate with your partner. And relate with your partner's living situation, whether alone or with somebody. And then how that's impacting your partner. And then find through some process where your partner is most affected in some organ. once you settle in an organ, really in with that, resolve the resistance. We don't need to have any expectation of how that will resolve, whether that will. Reduce the person's resistance to the current situation, or even prompt the person to change it. However, whatever happens will happen. Okay, come to conclusion. So are you able to find some place and settle on it? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Throat.
Throat?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a point of decision or a point of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe knowing something that was unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Large intestine, colon area.
Mm-hmm. All right, switch into something else. So is this fun?
Yes.
Good texture.
I'm glad you're not bored. It's like, you know, these are things that we don't necessarily conceive of until we start to be exposed in the practice and find out what the possibilities are, because the, as I was pointing out yesterday, the electromagnetic field is pretty vast, and the interdependency of everything is just as vast. But we can find some parts of it that interact and be aware of that. Maybe we're only aware of some part of the electromagnetic field, but it's a part that applies to whatever it is we choose to relate with. Now, open the space, and then just relate with your partner's emotions, just generally the emotions. Sometimes it's referred to as the emotional body, and we don't have a formal description of an emotional body. Just relate with the emotions of your partner. Search it and become clear how your field is affected by the emotion. emotions of your partner, how it's manifest in you, in your perceptive field. And then let's do a similar process to the one we just did. Relate with your partner in different ways with various organs in your partner and find some organ where the emotions are most prominently placed or where the strongest resonance is with emotion. From which your partner most closely relates with their emotions, with whatever emotions are at play here. feel the organ? Bring it into balance or strengthen it. Tonify it. Come to conclusion. Switch. Did everybody find some place to go?
Yeah.
Where did you go?
I went to his heart.
Heart?
Yeah.
Heart? Okay. That's a probably a very prominent resonance with people and their emotions. Right?
When you said to go to your partner's emotions,
mm-hmm.
Sorry, I could feel something here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like starting to feel upset, and then when you moved on to the next thing, it sort of went up there and just went away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I just thought that maybe this is the area, because I felt something.
Yeah, you can trust your perception.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to explain why it's there or why
right.
it's happening.
Okay.
But if that's where it's happening, that's where you relate with it.
Okay, yeah.
For whatever reasons there are or not. Yeah. Okay. With your partner. To relate with your partner's emotions. as in the previous exercise. Find some place where the emotions are most keenly felt. Where the organ that's most affected emotionally. You can settle on some place, some organ, feel that organ, relate with it. Make it more functional. Release the resistances. Between emotions and that organ, a more balanced relationship. Okay. Did you settle with something?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Throat again.
Yes?
Yeah. And me, there's a little anxiety.
Yeah. So solar plexus.
No, more. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No throat.
It started maybe like a shoulder, this area, and then it felt like more hips, knees, and then it went back up, felt like throat.
Okay, switch. You're not done yet. Okay. Choose to relate with your partner's nervous system. Locate in you how you're affected. Field is affected and what field is formed by that relation. What field is defined by that relation. And now, open your eyes and then begin to take a look around the room and find something that's a structure, a texture, an image, a shape, anything, and find what you can gaze at that will most strongly affect how you feel relative to your partner's nervous system. And something that will release resistance in the nervous system, maybe calm it. Hold it off, or bring it more into balance in some way. To conclusion. See, once you decide on something, once you find something that resonates, it happens very quickly. It's something that will just, bam, have an impact. And it will, in some way, modify it. Were you able to find something?
Yeah?
Okay, that's good. Because that's what would take most time, perhaps, is, well, what, you know? But it's not really a rational process. I'm here in this field feeling how I'm affected by the nervous system, the relation with the nervous system, and then what can I gaze at that will in some way impact that in a healing way. Right? Yeah. Different kind of resonance. All right, switch. Partner's nervous system. field defined by that relation with the nervous system. And then open your eyes, and then look around the room for something, some shape, texture, structure, image, or other thing that most will impact the field of the nervous system in a healing way. Close the eyes, and then relate with your partner's heart, the heart chakra. Open the eyes again and repeat the process. Find something on which to gaze that will heal the heart. Okay. Come to conclusion, switch with your partner. Yes?
Does that like resonance and using form?
Well, yeah, actually, it includes the relating perhaps with a form. Mm-hmm. See, we're not making anything exclusive of anything else here.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it primarily with a resonance,
mm-hmm.
but the resonance could involve a form. But maybe you're relating with something that affects you as a shape.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a form. Or an image. And even as complex as that image, say if you're looking at that image, the complexity of that image could is like a form in some way. Choose to relate with your partner's heart chakra. And then open your eyes and then find something with which to gaze at and heal your partner's heart. Okay, come to conclusion. with that when you had the added bonus of a little
honky.
Yeah, a little auditory intensity to help move the process. Remember, everything is included in the experience. You don't need to discount anything or think that anything is irrelevant, because it isn't. When you hear something, feel how that feels and how it's affecting the relation, because it's there. It's there for the healing process, everything. Whatever thought comes up, anything. You could use everything in the healing, and you should use everything in the healing, because we're doing this in a way that we don't discriminate. Ideally, we have a non-differentiated relation, and you've merged with your partner. And so everything then just becomes this non-dualistic experience. Nothing is separated from that experience. If you allow that to be non-differentiated and non-dualistic, then it becomes a very intimate thing in your own consciousness. And what better lever do you have than to heal something? Something that feels like you. And so things that appear as intensity don't need to feel as separate, but are just adding intensity to the experience. Which is, and the same is true of any discomfort that you might feel. Some places you go in a relation with something healing feels very uncomfortable. But we don't need to judge that. And I think that that's no good, because that's as healing as anything else. And intensity is good. Nothing would really be happening without some intensity. And we produce intensity by stabilizing our awareness in a way that helps us to merge in our consciousness with whatever it is that we relate with. Now, it's maybe in this last exercise, maybe that felt kind of intense, looking at something and then it's like, wow, it's like something very present, something very strong. Well, that's kind of how those kinds of things are. Yeah.
And it's also maybe very interesting to shift your attachment to always having your eyes closed. Because when you open it, then it shifts your attachment.
Yes. True. I practice quite often healing with my eyes open. And actually that lends an intensity to the process that doesn't happen when your eyes are closed. If you're able to allow that part of the experience not to distract you from anything, then it's actually a bonus. It's something, it lends more intensity to the process and helps you heal more efficiently. We held some classes in Los Angeles, I think, and elsewhere, where we practice healing with the eyes, healing with the visual part of our awareness, using the same senses of vision. In the experience, using the sensory part, and all the processes involved in how that affects the brain and the visual part of the brain and everything else, and that becomes part of the healing process, and it really lends a lot of intensity to it. And you can heal very nicely, effectively with the eyes. Gaze is a really strong thing. Works.
Thank you.
just don't get distracted by it. Feel how it's affecting the field and allow that intensity to increase. And the same is true with any of your senses. You can use hearing and sound in the same way. And sound has, you can form intensity with sound, with mantras.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, you can form intensity with using forms that are mudras. That's another way to intensify and apply something to the relation. You can use your sense of smell as well. And I remember practicing that. We've done that. Any part of our awareness can become the primary attention that we use in the relation, like we use a dream. A dream can become the same kind of thing, where we use that as our, like, perceptive organ, I like to say, in a sense, where everything then appears from that vantage. I wouldn't say viewpoint so much, because we like to drop the viewpoint as much as we can, but through that medium. Whatever produces intensity can also help to produce change, move something, release something, blow something up. I mean, you know, that horn was effective, right? Wasn't it? And they kind of like blow things up when things like when that happens, right? Yeah. As long as you don't react to it too much. If you react to it, you know, and you tighten up and everything, well, then you've been distracted. Mm. But if you just allow the intensity, then all is well. Because, and we can allow that intensity because we sit in the shunya. We sit with an emptiness that allows all of that intensity just to go poof into the emptiness, and it takes whatever else with it, you know, that somehow it catches. It catches something and takes it with it. To put it in a, you know, to put a reference to it, you know, in a visual type form. We always tend to relate with our senses. Now, there is something we didn't do, which I thought we might get to, but I guess we won't today. And, well, it's kind of a larger topic than for, you know, a few minutes. And that has to do with healing with chakras, healing in your chakra, but also using the 10 bodies, combination of chakras and bodies. And I thought that that related pretty nicely with the topic of resonance, because in some way there is a resonance that you can find in relating with through a chakra with one of the bodies. And you'll find in that, in the body that you relate with, some story about what is happening with whatever it is you're, the condition or whatever it is you're relating with. It's present there somehow.
That's like a weekend workshop.
Yeah, well, yeah. Actually, I think I've devoted whole classes to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a workshop. Maybe not a whole weekend, but maybe a day or something.
Cool.
One workshop to it. And it's a really nice topic, and it's very effective. It's something that can make you a really famous healer, I think. Because it's effective. It goes really, really deep.
Well, maybe next time when you come here.
Yeah, maybe next time. We'll do that or something like that.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, I know that people have the bias towards wanting to work with the well-established modalities of Satnam Rasayan because that's what people are tested on for their certification, and there's a pressure to do that, perhaps. But I also like to include other things, too, that I think are important, because they give us a broader view of everything that's possible that we can use and work with. It makes our healing more effective, deeper.
When are you coming back?
May. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be like October.
October? Yeah. That's too long.
Yes.
And you should have a weekend workshop with this idea. It's fabulous.
I think so too.
See? Yeah. Look.
Ooh.
Sooner.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe sooner.
Late but July. Early August.
Well, the thing is with.
Because it's going to be there mid July.
Yeah, I have an idea. You come before Gurudev, and then you take Gurudev's workshop.
Well, you know, on top of each other like that in some way might produce some conflict, because people will go to one and not the other, and people don't get to do everything often. Well, they weren't there once because they went to the other thing. Yeah, well, the pattern and the frequency has been, so far, every 4 months. And I try to stay away from a lot of the other events that happen so that we don't conflict, you know. But you know, in August and September, we've got Shasta.
Yeah.
You know.
What about middle September?
Also, I was told in some of the, one is Paris in September, too.
Early August, though.
Early August. Yeah. Maybe if I were just coming here, that possibly could work. But then, you know, you're going to have to get some of your friends to come, too. I have to pay for my trip.
Yeah.
I'm out of town in August.
You're out of town.
Yeah.
And Gurudev is coming in August also to, like, Canada. I don't know where else he's going to visit at that time.
Yeah, I think.
But that's a time when he's around in August, and that's a time that I probably wouldn't consider.
What about July or September? Post-Shasta is not so bad, do you guys think? Because everything after Shasta is exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, September is a possibility.
September, I think everyone has
make it a little sooner.
Back to school.
It's a little sooner than October, maybe.
You should come sooner.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking about adjusting that somewhat, you know. Making it maybe September and then January maybe instead of February.
Yeah. And the weekend workshop, that's so
cool. I mean, who does anything in January, right?
I'm up for it.
Yeah.
The whole weekend.
Yeah.
Right?
All right, so we'll start to make adjustments there. Maybe we'll think about September then.
Yeah.
Far enough past the Mount Shasta that people could, you know.
2 or 3 weeks.
Regroup.
People usually want to dive right in, though. Do you guys?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we
you get inspired,
it.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of nice to keep up.
Yeah.
Stay, you know?
Yeah. Well, get all your, you know, KYE people, friends, and Golden Bridge and everything.
Yeah.
Bring them out here. Do this.
Mid-September, maybe?
We still have a lot of space.
Do they have flyers at the different places, like Golden Bridge, when you come into town?
No, they don't. Mm-hmm. But I do send them to people via email.
Okay.
And then if you want, didn't you get one?
I got it from Guru Surya.
You got one from Guru Surya? You didn't get one from me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you got to make sure I get your email address.
Okay.
So I'll send it to you. Because I did send it to, like, I don't know,
I think this 20, 30, year 30 is people. So crazy. Everybody just comes out of the woodwork and wants you to buy them dinner or something.
Wants you to buy them dinner.
Like, there's so much going on. Like, so many people, like, coming out of the woodwork, and it's like money, just stretch it. It's like you got to stretch your money more. It's more difficult.
So you're saying May isn't a good time?
Well, I don't know. That's just me.
I know a lot of people having money issues. A lot.
It's just that everybody's spending.
Well, everybody's having some kind of issue. There's always an issue with everything. Yeah. But, you know, I came once in June and nobody showed up. You know, I came once in August and nobody showed up.
See, I didn't know June when there was an email.
August was a horrible month.
August. Maybe there was one missed one because of the email. I never got the email.
You didn't get it?
Yeah, I remember I asked you about it at Mount Shasta and you said you had just been to Brooklyn. I didn't know.
Well, then, yeah. So did you get my latest email?
This one, yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay, good. So you're on my list. That's good. If you're on my list, and all is well.
I have to give you my email address.
Okay, why don't you give me your email address and...
And I'd like to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
One was about the third set we did, you know, with our hands like this.
Yes.
What is that for?